Hi, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase.
Hi, I'm Graham. I've helped him out on a few other podcasts.
And I'm Jason from the future, just trying and fighting to get a signal through to you guys.
And if you want to play any miniature war game, you need a table. So why don't we build one in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield? All right, signal strength is looking good. Looks like I got a pretty solid picture coming through to you guys in the future, so excellent. I like what I'm seeing. All right, that's good. So I can talk to you for a little bit here before the signal drops out again. I just want to start the show off with a bit of a disclaimer. We are doing a construction project this episode around, but something a little different than what we've done in the past. We're actually building a miniature wargaming table, so we're doing really just woodworking. And it can be dangerous. If you've never done any kind of woodworking before, this involves a lot of power tool work. Well, power tools will make it easier on you anyway. And it's just important that, like I said, if you use utmost careful. I mean, Graham's been working the framing construction for over a year. I've been doing a bunch of woodworking my entire life, so I know enough to keep myself from hurting myself and whatnot. So if you've never done this before, find someone who has and get them to help you out so they can keep you safe, because you can seriously hurt yourself doing woodworking, especially when you're using like power tools and saws and drills. So be sure to, at least if you're going to attempt something like this, be sure to invest in some basic safety equipment. Get yourself a nice pair of safety goggles. They're not very expensive. They run $10 to $15. They'll protect your eyes a lot from any little flying debris, nails, wood chips, whatever flies up. They'll keep your eyes safe. Also, you might want to get a nice pair of little earmuffs. You can wrap them around your head. You know, you see those things that basically reduce the sound from everything around you. Because power tools can be loud, and the long exposure to loud noises obviously causes ear damage. So if something you're going to do a lot, get the earmuffs. They really help a lot. I've been using them for years in all my different working projects. And other than that, last thing to say, you're attempting this at your own risk. We can show you some pointers, but in the end all, everything you do is your decision. It's your fault if you get yourself hurt. So if you have any concern about maybe injuring yourself, don't attempt this project at all. Maybe just skip on to something else. So don't come blaming us if something happens. You have been forewarned. You're attempting this all at your own risk. So it looks like, signal's falling out again. Well, I'll be checking back in to get some updates and some changes in design. Because we actually, after filming the show, we made a few changes to it. And you'll be hearing from me again in just a little bit. Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. I want to start the show with a neat little announcement, something I'm kind of working on here. At the moment we're recording this, it's about 2 weeks before the show's released, so this little new addition to the Army Showcase won't probably be available. The whole acceptance process takes a while, but at the moment I'm adding the finishing touches to a Facebook application. So for all you Facebook users, you'll be able to actually slap a little application on your page and provide little cool links and icons back to your armies back in the Army Showcase. So probably won't be readily available right as soon as this podcast comes out, but shortly after that. So I'm pretty excited. It's looking pretty good at the moment. So I'll be posting pictures and little information about it in my blog on the Army Showcase. So just check that out. So, as I said so like 15 times now, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and start building a table. Something I talked a little bit about back in episode 3 of the season when we did the Lord of the Rings review. So Graham here does some pretty good carpenter work. He's already got about half of it almost done already.
Yeah.
So we're going to start showing the pieces.
Yeah, I worked rough framing for about a year, and, well, I liked it, but it wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Now I'm an electrician. Go figure.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Anyway.
And just get out there and enjoy whatever you do, that's all.
Pretty much.
So let's talk a little bit about our design, because our goal was to take a table that's 8 feet by 4 feet and be able to fold it up in as small space as possible so you can stash it away in a closet and then bring it out and set it up to play huge games on.
Right. So 8 foot by 4 feet, we're basically going to be able to fold it up to 4 foot by 2 foot by 1 foot rectangular prism, if you will. So, basically...
So what we got here, we're holding... These are boards from the game Formula Day, which, yeah, I know it's a Euro game. This is a miniature war game show, but we'll deal with it. But he's going to demonstrate kind of how the whole folding process goes.
So, basically, let's say this is our table. This is the long ways, and so it's going to end up folding downwards, and then you fold it in half again. I basically stole this design for making the table itself. And perfectly honest, I think it's going to come out pretty well.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. Hopefully it goes pretty well.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's start with running through some components here.
Right.
So I guess this should get this little bit of a shock factor right out of the way. This whole project would probably set you back about $100. So it's the wood and screws are about $70, and I had some extra hinges laying around that could save you some money. But yeah, plan about $100 plus maybe a little bit more to build terrain for the table. Just get that little shock factor out of the way right now.
I didn't actually even realize that he supplied the materials, yes. But he gets to keep the table and free
labor. Probably spend a little bit more money. You probably have to. I'll explain when we get to the plywood about that. So. Let's start with the framing materials.
Well,
here.
Basically, before you can start making. Well.
Hey, get the table.
Yeah, probably.
Before you
can start making this, we're going to need four of them.
Show the frame without the plywood on first.
I'm getting to that. Yes. I'm getting to that. So basically, you start off with 2x3s, 2x4s. 2x3s cut down a lot on the weight. They're probably cheaper too, aren't they?
These from Home Depot are about $2 a piece.
Okay, that's not bad. It's not bad at all. So essentially, this is just an 8 foot 2 by 3, and you kind of have to cut it in half. You're gonna need somewhere around 8 of them for the table part, excluding any and all legs or other materials such as that. So this is, like I said, 2 by 3, and we use that. Cut that in half, and that makes your top and your bottom bar.
So the top and the bottom bar are all 48 inches long, right?
48 inches long, okay. Exactly.
And these inside bars here?
Those are 21 inches. Okay. So that way, it makes a grand total of...
Just some slight adjustments in the field as we need it.
That's a bit better.
So you get a total grand total of 24 inches along the side here, right?
Correct. So it's going to end up being 2 foot by 4 foot. Our magic number.
So let me pretend a minute that I've never done any kind of carpentry work before, because just instinctively by the numbers are tossing out, I want to say your measurement there was wrong, because 21 inches here plus 2-inch thickness plus 2-inch thickness should be 25, right?
You'd think.
You'd think.
Except 2x4s, 2x8s, whatever, are different. 2x4 is actually 1.5 by 3.5. Mm-hmm. A 2x2 is obviously 1.5 by 1.5. A 2x3 is, well... 1.5 by 3, 2.5. Now, when you get to 2x8, things get a little interesting. It gets to 1.5 by 7.25.
1.5 by 7. Okay.
And everything up from there is blank and a quarter. The inch down plus a quarter.
Okay. Then another comment I want to make about these actual 2x4s, 2x3s, whatever they come in, you choose to use. When you're picking them out of the hardware store, make sure they're nice and straight.
Right.
A lot of these really suck. I had to go through about 30 of these to find 8
I'm
that are
not
really
surprised.
Because what's the best thing to do, like, here, let me slide this guy over here a little bit. What I like to do is, anyway, you lay it down on the ground, you know, just lay it on all four sides and make sure all four sides fit nice and flat and even on the ground.
Two sides will do the trick.
Two sides will do the trick. I just did extra work, that's all.
Right. So
we got the framing. Talk a little about the nails here.
I was pinch hitting for a lot of the nails. Personally, if it were all my materials, I'm going to get off that really quick.
Yeah, that's just some old terrain.
Anyway, I would be using...
The Tabletop Battlefield, Season 1.
Okay.
old reference to old shows. Okay, keep back.
Okay, anyway. So I would be using 16-penny nails, or as we in the business call them, spikes. If you go to a hardware store and you happen to come across a carpenter, you say spikes, they'll know exactly what you mean.
What size is that? That's a
16-penny, 3.5 inches.
Now, if that's pretty much about it for the frame itself, you just kind of make the 21-inch, 14-inch, nail it together. Make sure you nail it together correctly so that way the 48-inch caps the 21-inch on both sides. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a screwy measurement. So next comes the sheeting.
Okay, so let's talk about the little plywood here first.
Okay.
Just knocking my stuff off.
It's just a 2 foot by 4 foot, 1/2 inch thick piece of plywood.
Yeah, it's pretty simpler.
That's about all there is to say.
For a second. The one thing I was going to mention about why this is a little bit more expensive than what it probably needed to be was I ended up buying 4 2x4 sheets here, 2 foot by 4 foot sheets,
right,
for two reasons. One, I drive Neon. I can't get an 8-foot-by-4 if it's using that car in the 100 I try. I can get about 9 or 10 of these guys, the nice long 2x4s or 2x3s.
You probably can pop your back seat down and stick it in your trunk.
And
right, I got that
too. The trunk about maybe 6 inches from the end.
But nice.
But the other thing is, if you buy a full 8x4 sheet of plywood, it's going to be cheaper.
$18.
$18 I want to run?
$18 for a residential grade sheet of plywood. It's not going to be as nice as this if you're going to do that, mm-hmm. because it's a little strange.
A little strange. Okay.
It's kind of got chips. It looks like it's got chips flying everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Like every which direction.
It's not
as nice as this. This is a nice piece of plywood.
This is heavy or what? Any regardless of what type of wood it is, I don't know off the top of my head. But the other reason is because you can obviously the hardware stores often cut the large sheets down for you. But some of them won't do precision cuts. So, you know, if you got an 8x4 sheet and they cut it maybe at, you know, 4 foot, 6 inches one direction, you've now wasted half that sheet. You're going to end up buying two of them.
You did waste half the sheet.
You did waste half the sheet. And then you're going to probably end up buying two of them, and it's actually going to be more expensive than buying four of these individual panels, which are a little bit, you know, more expensive per square foot than the big guys are.
So, yeah, I mean, me personally, I have no problem cutting down a 4-foot by 8-foot sheet. Mm-hmm. A lot of you might want to have it pre-cut,
unless
it probably would. I mean, I did it for a year, so I have a little bit of an edge over most people.
So let's move on. Anything else you want to say about that? You want to just move on to the completed section?
Ow,
slipper. Ow! Hit the vent.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we're moving on. Here's
one thing I don't
section.
Miss about carpentry is the slivers.
The slivers, yes.
Splinters.
We probably should have some work gloves on and things, but whatever.
I don't care, personally. I don't miss the slivers at all, but I really don't care about them much. So, when you put the plywood on the frame, unless you're like a professional, you're probably not going to get exactly 8-foot by 4-foot frame. If I had to guess, I'd say this plywood isn't exactly 4-foot by 2-foot. Because, well, I did do it professionally. And it's, well, as you can probably see, a bit off.
Looks pretty good. That's close enough.
It's not bad. But when you're putting the plywood on, personally, I like 8-penny nails. We just call them 8s. No said. So,
straightforward.
And when you're putting them on, you want to line up. You want to just line up the one corner, put a nail in, line up the other corner, put a nail in down there, and then line up this corner down there, and put a nail in right there, and then you lock it in place. And so that way it's square. Supposedly, these things are supposed to be square, the plywood. That's assuming it's square. We hope it's square. I didn't actually check it.
And one little note I'll say, because don't worry too much if it's a little bit uneven, like if you got little cracks in the plywood or they meet, because you're actually going to end up covering this whole plywood with something, whether it be some type of material to actually use as the battlefield. So that'll probably cover up any little cracks. Well, depends how you... I'll do that in a later episode, building all sorts of terrain. But yeah, you can kind of correct a little bit of that with terrain features.
And even so, the plywood isn't what gives its structural integrity. It's the framing that does.
And also, once again, just like with the 2x4s or whatever studs you use, make sure the plow is nice and flat, because there's about, I had to go about 20 of these, or maybe 10, 15 of these, where it's nice and bowed. You can tell you sit right in the ground, the mill's about an inch off the ground, you know, that's not a good one. You want to make it nice and flat as possible.
Well, it's not a huge deal, because you nail it down.
Yeah.
The plywood's not as big a deal as the studs.
But yeah, so you just want things as flat as you can get, so.
Trust me, it's not that big a deal.
Really? Okay. Well, we'll trust him on that. He knows what he's doing better than I do, so. Is that it for that piece, then?
I think so.
We're going to go on to the first hinge section now.
Yes, this one was actually a new one on me. I'm used to working with nails, framing, and sheeting. About all I did.
Let's get that guy out of the way. So why don't you show off one of the little hinges while I'm dragging
all right.
over there.
We had a bunch of hinges like this. Your common door hinge.
Ow.
It works. And finally, something that rhymes with orange.
Orange? What?
Door hinge. Yes.
Okay, fair enough. I don't get the joke, but all right, well, all right.
Well, supposedly nothing rhymes with orange.
Well, door hinge is...
I know.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Okay, so, fine. Not funny, whatever.
I just didn't, you know. Maybe you found it funny. Okay, so let's get this guy out of the way, too. This guy's all sealed up right now, so this is essentially half the table.
Right.
And move some more of this crap out of the way.
Probably not a bad idea. So I am basically just going to show you the one side hinged. All right. So it's 4 foot by 2 foot. So you're going to want two hinges because one hinge can get kind of skewy.
Yeah.
So just two hinges spread evenly apart. So two hinges, that means three equal parts in between. 48 inches is 16 inches on center. That's the golden number of carpentry. Anyway, and so you fasten those on, and then you're ready to have it.
So you got, we should go, hold on 1 second. I'll show them the little latches first.
I was going to do a second, but.
Oh, well, okay, that's it.
Well, all right, well.
Doesn't really matter.
It basically just kind of folds up.
It should fold out pretty flat. So out of curiosity, how heavy do you think this half is right now? What would you guess?
I haven't measured how much I can lift in a long time. I have no clue. I have no concept of weight, how much things weigh. So you might actually be better off than I am. Maybe 15, 20 pounds.
Okay.
Maybe 30.
All right.
Like I said, I have no concept anymore.
Some random weight, whatever.
Well, when I was building muscle, it wasn't with set weights. It was with, wood. And so, basically, you got these two lying flat, and you fasten the two hinges on.
Okay, signal strength is coming back online. Looks like we got a pretty good connection at the moment. So another important change we got here are these hinges. Just a few notes on them. One, from what we showed you just a minute ago, we've actually ended up putting the hinges on the bottom, mainly because it'll keep the table from collapsing in on itself. Two, you no longer have any ridges on the top you have to cover up with terrain. And three, therefore, with the 4x4 foot tables now, each of the two sections of the table kind of close in on themselves, trapping all the legs underneath. What you can see here is the new screw. The actual length is going to depend on obviously how long your boards, if you go with 2x4s or 2x3s. But the interesting thing here is a little tip. It's got a funny looking little tip on it. Because these guys are called, they're self-drilling. So it essentially has a tiny little drill bit on it. So therefore when you drill the screws into the wood, you don't have to necessarily drill a pre-hole. These little tips will actually go ahead and drill a hole for you. So you're looking at a more expensive product, but it's going to save you a lot of time because you won't have to pre-drill all the drill holes.
On to the fasteners. We used a couple of eye hole and hook rig jobs. And on the one, we had an actual hook that was made.
Safety gate hooks are called.
Yeah, that.
Well, larger versions of safety gate hooks.
Yes.
These are designed to keep dogs in the fence and not opening.
Right.
Or children getting into various schools and other sort of.
Okay, this one, on the other hand, I had to custom make. A pair of pliers and a vise.
What'd you use for the actual hook? What'd you make it out of?
9-gauge galvanized wire. I happen to have a ton of it. It's $11 for a roll of 170 feet of it.
Oh, okay. Like Home Depot, some big box stores kind of thing?
Lowe's only,
okay.
I don't know, maybe you can find, I don't know, I don't even know.
Okay,
you can find something else. I know Lowe's has
it. Internet, Google, Amazon, someone will know.
Something. Anyway, so I basically custom fabricated it, put some eye holes on it, or eye hooks, and we have our other latch.
That looks good, looking solid.
And it's a beautiful thing.
So as for the legs then, we're still kind of making up as we go, right?
Right. I'm going to need some new screws for that one. Oh, well.
Huh, that's not any good. Okay, well, we're going to get back probably building the legs here, and we'll probably show those off when we get around to it.
Yep.
Some other little pieces you might want. Also, the last little thing you might want. Assuming some sort of a hook to carry the whole thing.
Yeah, a handle.
Handle, that's what I meant. Handle! I'm doing good terminology tonight. Some handle that will probably bolt onto one of the sides, depending on how it all ends up folding up, and you'll be able to carry it around with that. So,
right.
Get back to work time?
Absolutely.
Let's go for it. Okay? So we're going to show you next here now several ways that you can assemble the legs together. We've actually got two different legs in this table, which, well, it's actually done that way intentionally because the legs over here, the ping pong table legs, are actually going to be the outside legs. So this end over here is if we're going to the full 8 foot by 4 foot mode, these two ends of the wood legs that kind of line up, where most of the weight's going to be supported by these ping pong table legs. So as I mentioned, these first legs over here are exactly what I said they are. They're ping pong table legs. My dad got them off an old ping pong table, and they're designed in such a way that they, down here at the bottom, they pop out and they collapse down for easy storage to be with inside the table when you fold it all up. I obviously think that this are going to be more expensive, but it's a lot easier. It's pretty much just install them into the table any way you see fit. And to give you an idea, both legs measure in terms of height, from the top of the table to the floor, that you're looking at about 29.5 inches with both this leg here, these pre-made legs, and with our little wood legs over here. So obviously, the exact height is going to depend on what you want to do. It's your call. But just to give you an idea, that's one option is to use pre-made legs like this off ping pong tables. I honestly don't know where you can buy just the actual legs. Like I said, we got these off an old table. So maybe you could try a sports supply store. May sell them, but I'm really not 100% sure where you can find them new. Therefore, you may have to use some kind of little rigging like we've got over here, which is just another 2x3 measured to the proper length. So we have fancy little gate hinges down here that are holding the leg on. And right now the leg's locked in place, so if I try to move it, you can see it just really doesn't go anywhere at all. And how we're doing that is, remember that wire we used to build some eye hooks? We took some of that and formed this nice little L shape here. And we actually drilled the hole that goes straight through the wood here and into the leg itself. So therefore, when this thing's fully inserted here, this metal piece is sticking through this 2x3 and into the leg, kind of significantly restricting the movement of this leg. So if I were to pull this thing out now, you'll be able to see I can go ahead and lower the leg down and lock it into place, ready for storage. And for this little pin then, we drilled another hole on the other side over here. You can see it right there. So you can kind of just stick the pin in here when the leg's tucked away in for storage, and I'll kind of keep it safe from falling out and rolling away and getting lost. I got the table flipped up, so it's sitting the way it would be if you're actually going to be playing on it now. And I want to show you one last little thing. Because the way this table kind of works out because of the hinge, depending on how well you assemble the hinge, which you might notice is the tendency of the table to kind of bow down in the middle. So essentially, if you're to look at it nice and flat from the side, you're in kind of a V shape. Because obviously, each of the legs are pushing up in each of the four corners, so there's nothing in the middle here to necessarily support the weight of the hinge. So what I actually had to do in this case, if you're looking carefully in here, I got a small little piece of molding. It's maybe an eighth of an inch thick that runs down the length of this, and that keeps the table from actually kind of bowing in the middle. The exact width is going to depend on just how bad of a bow effect you get. The worse you get, maybe the thicker you need, or maybe the deeper you need to put it in there. But all we did was just staple gun it into the 2x3 and then put a few nails along the side. And that'll keep it holding in place. And it'll keep the table from bowing in the middle. And what you guys, you got a pretty rock solid table. It's pretty sturdy. Obviously, I wouldn't be leaning on it or sitting on it, but shouldn't have any trouble supporting all your miniatures for battle. So with that, I guess that's about all I got to say for this episode. And I think the signal's holding up. I think I can finish off here. As usual, questions, comments? It's like... So, that's about all I got left to say for this episode. So, as usual, questions, comments, send them to jason@rockosoftware.com. And we'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rocko Software. License under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
Schrodinger's Cat Paradox by C-Jax is released under a Creative Commons license and was acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com.
Each music down with everything is by the transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.